You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour One. Half men, half couch.
I've seen your legs, and I'm surprised that you even use the word squats because you've got the chicken legs.
Well, they're like a thoroughbred, like a horse. Horses don't have big, strong legs. They have the very strong legs, but they're not big. You don't need that mass. You need speed. It's more like a pony, maybe, than a big horse, but still quite quick and agile.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
I am totally out of my element here because we're in a new studio, right? We're in the back studio because the main studio we are renovating. And it's going to be up and going, they claim, in 2 weeks. I don't think there's a chance that's going to happen.
Well, are you concerned about that? Because anytime, and I don't know, Johnny, if you've ever done it, I think you renovated your house at some point. Mm-hmm. Whenever a contractor walks in and goes, 2 weeks, no problem. It's 2 months later and the guy's still fumbling around your house. And there's dust everywhere and the budget is two times the amount. I will say this, though. I was able to build my house on schedule in Kleinberg. Now, I had a very diligent builder.
That's the thing. You claim you built it. You didn't do
a thing.
You passed, you wrote some checks and you handed over some money and they all did it for you. Luckily for us, I mean, TSN's paying for it. So if it goes three times over the budget, that's not our problem.
Right.
But, in a couple of weeks, we're supposed to be back up and on TV and streaming online and all that kind of stuff on the website. And I'll believe it when I see it. I'm not sure I'm buying
Johnny,
it.
I got two issues so far in the show. Well, one, it's a very small space. You'd be surprised at how small the spaces are.
This is a weird sight lines, man. I'm staring at Johnny through like five different mics.
There you go.
Move over there.
And I got no nickname?
Hayes Noodles.
Hayes Noodles and Johnson.
Yeah, I know.
Why did I say my full name, my social insurance? Make it official.
Hayes Noodles and Mike Johnson.
Come up with something.
Michael
Johnson.
Well, how
about Johnny?
Yeah, like Johnny works.
Hayes Noodles and Johnny.
Yeah.
Well, there's
Here's
another
Johnny,
thing.
Why not?
There's another thing that's throwing me off here. I think I've determined there's one complaint that every adult can make, and you're not going to get people rolling their eyes or chirping you behind your back, and it's complaining about daylight saving time. Did I say that right? Daylight savings time.
Yeah.
Because I have been sort of whack for about 48 hours now, and it's all it is 1 hour of sleep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's a critical hour, though.
It's a very critical hour.
I think one of the times I was here was in the fall when we were going the other way.
You're right.
And you asked me, you guys were having a debate as to what was the logic behind it?
There is no logic.
Nobody knows what the logic is. It's saving light,
isn't it?
Well, that's what it says.
I thought it was for the school kids.
You don't want to drive
walk
home
to school
in the dark. Yeah.
In the light and walk home from
Which
school
Which is
in the
fine.
Light. Or the
All
farmers.
The farmers is what I always heard.
Yeah.
Last night, I'm laying in bed and wide awake at 1:30 in the morning because it's really only 12:30.
I was in the same spot.
It's amazing how different your world gets, though, because when we were younger, fall daylight savings time was the best. Because at 2, the bar went back to 1.
That's right. Best bar night of the year.
Best bar night of the year.
Problem is,
it's a free-for-all.
That extra hour really
gets ugly.
Did some damage. Like, you were low-maxed when you left the bar because I couldn't imagine what the grappler would be doing with an extra hour in the bar.
I can.
We all can. But that's
now it's just like, I can't sleep properly. My sleep patterns are all messed up. I'm waking up too early. You're all disjointed.
I worked SportsCenter last night, and apparently, I'm drawing a blank, NFL player trades himself Saturday
Antonio
night.
Brown. Well, Antonio Brown, yeah.
Like 10-1 in the morning. Like something happened like Saturday night, and they had to change SportsCenter, the look of it, completely. So, plus you lose the hour from 2 to 3. Apparently they rolled out of here, and that was an epic night.
I felt bad
for the TV people.
Because Mark Rowe was
He tweeted out a picture of 3:45 in the morning or something when he's
still
sitting at the desk.
Right, because I did notice that. I was watching it on Saturday night.
Because you were wide awake, too.
I was wide awake, and I was watching. I saw you do the hit on the Leaf-Oiler game and whatever other games you were doing that night. And then when I was watching SportsCenter The Loop the next morning, it started with the Antonio Brown news. So they obviously were sticking around in the studio, and they had to completely rework the whole show and clean up the whole show. So Brown really squeezed Mark Rowe, and I'm not sure who else was doing the show that night.
It's crazy.
But, we got to get into Antonio Brown. Oh, my goodness.
Well, this guy won. You guys are former players. Do you appreciate where this guy's coming from? Because it goes both ways.
Yep.
He wanted out. He got out. He wanted to go where he wanted to go.
Right.
This is a really difficult day, I would think, for Buffalo Bill fans, because it's not like this guy got traded to the Patriots or he's not after the Rams or the Eagles or the Packers.
He's going to a team that
that's a train
disaster.
Wreck themselves.
Yeah.
An absolute disaster. They don't have a stadium. They're leaving Oakland,
they're
hopefully in a year. Eventually, they're going to Vegas. They don't have a great owner.
They got a new GM in Mayock.
Right.
Well, they got two TV guys running their team.
Exactly.
Hold on a second, though. They don't have a great owner. Is this guy not a...
Well, he doesn't have as much money.
He's got
money.
The weird hair and all of that.
He's dumb and dumber.
He's
got the bowl cut.
The only way he makes money is through the team. Now,
right.
It's a lucrative business, but a lot of these guys, you know...
That's their side.
The best owners are the ones whose primary source of wealth is not the team.
Exactly. Because then they have so much money.
They don't care.
It doesn't matter. Where, by all accounts, in Oakland...
And also, they got more time involved in other things. I think there's a danger in owners who have... the money to buy a team, but that's their only thing because they want to spend all their time trying to run a sports team, which is their right because it's theirs. They probably can't do it as well as a regular general manager who's been brought up within the system.
Absolutely. You know, from one standpoint, I think if you're a player or a former player, regardless of the sport, you look at it, you say, okay, this guy, he decided I got some leverage here. I got some power. I'm going to take advantage of it. I'm going to get traded. I'm going to go to where I want to go, and I'm going to guarantee that I make a lot more money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what Antonio Brown did. And from that standpoint, I can appreciate it, and I salute it. But the other side of it is he quit on his team in week 17.
To that point, you got to be willing to be just the greasiest non-teammate you could be. And that's the part where perhaps as athletes we're like, I couldn't quit on my team in game 6 of a playoff series because I wanted a new contract.
Yeah.
Like you find another way to do it. There was no other. And football is the worst because football, the spectrum of power between players and teams is so far tilted towards the teams.
Right.
There's only one way for him to get what he wanted was to become such a bad teammate.
Right.
That they'd rather give him away for a third and a fifth.
The return wasn't
much
through the roof.
No.
Through the roof for this player's caliber. Now,
no.
Hayes, you've mentioned he's 31 years old, so it's. If he's not on the back nine, he's headed there right now. But is there anybody that's defending this guy and saying, you know what, I would have done it too? I don't see...
Le'Veon Bell?
Yeah, Le'Veon Bell. Okay. I mean, he just decided to never show up, right? Like, at least Antonio Brown was there for 15 years.
I think it's actually worse to show up and then quit in the middle than to never show up at all.
But I've seen people saying, like, Roethlisberger... his hands aren't clean in this as well.
I mean,
like
I think
taking sides.
We had Marcellus Wiley on Friday, and I think he hit the nail on the head that Antonio Brown was always seeking out respect. He felt like he had done a lot for the team, which he had,
and
he shouldn't have been treated like, you know, just one of the other guys.
You're not one of 52.
Exactly. Right. Not one of 52, where Roethlisberger is treated as this god, and that's partially because of the position he plays. He's also won them a couple of Super Bowls, so that's going to get you that type of treatment.
Right.
But Brown and Roethlisberger and maybe the coaching staff, they had butted heads. I just feel like if the whole Week 17 quitting on the team issue wasn't hanging over this discussion, we would probably have a very different viewpoint because we could understand it. All right, Brown wants out. He wants more money.
Yeah.
Whatever. He's not the first guy to do that.
He'd love the power play.
Love the power play because, like you said, Johnny, in the NFL, guys are getting cut. Like this whole week, guys are getting cut. Like legends are getting cut. Legends on teams.
Justin Houston. The stud player.
Absolute stud. They were going to give him $15 million or they owed him $15 million. Sorry, not going to give that to you.
You're
cut. So from that standpoint, you can understand where the players are coming from. But anyway, you know, he's off to Oakland. I thought Oakland was supposed to be rebuilding and loading up on picks.
Well, the Khalil Mack trade, you thought, okay, we're going to do this big rebuild.
Right, exactly.
First rounders galore, and then just sell the farm for
Antonio Brown, a 31-year-old, who's a great player, but they're not winning a Super Bowl in the next 2 or 3 years.
But that comes back to vision. What is this team's vision?
No vision. Like, I don't think they have a vision. And I'll say this. Mike Mayock, who was a great draft analyst for the NFL Network for like a decade, and by all accounts, smart guy, good guy. I don't know him personally, but now he's the new GM. If I'm Mayock, I am calling up Drew Rosenhaus, who is the agent for Antonio Brown, and I am strangling him through the phone because Rosenhaus went on the NFL Network. And I don't know if you guys saw this quote. It's so patronizing. It's so disingenuous. He's being interviewed on the NFL Network, and Rosenhaus goes something along the lines of, Can you get him back on the NFL Network? Because he's a real tough guy to negotiate with.
God, like
he's a real stickler, man. He really
patronizing.
It was such a gutless comment. Because anytime an agent is pumping the tires of his counterpart in a negotiation, what he's saying is, I fleeced this guy.
Yeah.
He's brutal. And I got everything I wanted to. And now I'm going to go on national TV and be like, man, he really got me. I can't believe I can only get $31 million guaranteed.
He's laughing. He's basically laughing. What a crack negotiator. He got 3 more years. He tore up the original deal that had no dollars guaranteed. Got 3 years and $30 million guaranteed.
Right.
He had zero.
Right.
And a raise.
And a raise.
If he goes through and he gets all the actual dollars.
But man,
what a tough negotiator.
Man, he's tough.
Well, he had held
tough.
My feet to the fire.
Yes, he did.
I sat beside Mike Mayock one time at a football game. Random. I got tickets to an Eagles game.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, okay, they're tickets from someone who knew someone, so I'm expecting them to be good. And I don't even know where good seats are in a football game.
Right.
I'm assuming 50-yard line, like 20th row or something.
Mm-hmm.
We are in the end zone, fourth from the top. And we're hiking up there. And I'm thinking, what? These are the worst seats of all time. We sit down. I look. He's right beside me. I'm like.
Did he talk to him at all?
He's got the worst seats,
He's like a professional football person.
Right.
He's sitting there. I'm like, maybe they're not the worst seats. I don't know.
Well, maybe that's the vantage point you're looking for.
I was just going to say, that's the vantage point. Like,
we're end zone.
No, that's not the vantage point. Those are brutal seats.
Six from the top. We almost got hit by the flyby. Like, it was so high.
Those would be terrible seats.
Yeah.
He's
a nice guy, though. Tough negoteator, though.
Oh, very tough.
Trying to buy me a beer. Tough negotiator.
He paid for front row 50-yard line, and he was sitting all the way up at the top.
He grinded the scalper down for only twice the face value for those seats.
Yeah, the scalper was on the NFL Network like, man, Mayock got me today, man. He got me today. Speaking of trolling, people are trying to decipher what John Cooper was saying earlier today. Do you want to hear Cooper?
Yeah, let's see what he's
Because we got an update on Brad Marchand. Is it? Yeah, Brad Marchand.
Marchand.
He's back at it on Twitter in terms
he's
of...
He's having a day on his social media right now.
I think he must have signed a
he's
deal.
A marketing company
yeah,
deal
some
or
sort
something.
Of deal. It's like, okay, release on Instagram. His first Instagram post, you can't go at him. I mean, it's his family, right?
Yeah.
So the people were... But like he's starting... I love the little interaction he has. He goes after Tory Krug.
Him and Tory Krug back and forth.
It's quite funny. And I actually enjoy that. But somebody, he must have signed a deal and said, okay, I'm going to get active on Twitter. I'm going to active on Instagram. But man, some of the comments, and you're right, he's trolling Marner. I think it's great, though. I actually think it's great.
Well, let's play the clip,
yes.
And then we'll explain where Marchand is coming from. This was John Cooper, head coach of the Lightning, speaking about Mitch Marner today.
The one thing about Marner is he is as smart a player as this league has not only seen this year, has ever seen. And somebody that can elude defenders and do the things he does with the puck on the offensive side of it, it translates to the defensive side as well.
Are we believing that? Like, is he being honest? Do you really think he feels like Mitch Marner is one of the smartest players in the history of the game?
I think he wants to give love. I thought that was, I always say this, the word rich. I thought it was a bit rich of praise because Marner's a great player in that. But do you have to go the extra mile? Like, I mean.
Of all time.
Bruce Cassidy in the playoffs a couple of years, was it last year? Said, hey, we're circling that guy. Which I don't disagree. You talk to people throughout the league, and the respect is for Matthews, but people are always like, man, the other guy, he's tough to play against. Hayes, you and I were talking. I was talking about to an AGM last night who said this guy is worth all the money. And so it's interesting the respect that Marner has garnered throughout the league, but I don't know. If everyone's lining up, if it's a slight troll job, if everyone's lining up to just pump this guy's tires to inflate the contract so that would mess with their cap situation, I don't know the thought process behind it.
That's what Brad Marchand was doing.
Yes.
He was having some fun.
Exactly.
He was poking and just having some fun trolling the Leafs.
But what's the motive for John Cooper?
I think for Coop, I think it's just some hyperbole to an opponent. This might be the best. Jamie McLennan is in the net tonight. Guy might be the best backup in the league. Yeah, I mean, it was just so hard to beat him. You beat us the you do that when you talk about your upcoming opponent. You sell them high and make them sound perhaps better than they actually are. Mitch Marner is incredibly smart.
Yeah.
And he is great at creating offense. And he's great at reading the play. And he's one of the elite players in the NHL at that now. I don't think I'm comfortable saying he's the best at anything historically just yet.
No, that's the thing. This is the type of praise that is reserved for someone who's won, like Sidney Crosby, who's won cups and hearts.
Alex Ovechkin's one of the greatest goal scorers of all time.
Absolutely.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Patrice Bergeron, one of the most underrated players of all time. Like stuff like that.
Yeah.
Marner is an exceptional talent. He's having a great year. He's a very smart player. You know, just
3 years in. Not even.
But exactly. Like, hasn't won any hardware. They haven't won a round.
He's not scored 30 goals.
Exactly. Like, it just feels like it's a comment that I don't think it's devious. I don't think it's that deep.
No.
Like, I don't think it's based on – it's not Marchand.
It's not Cooper trying to stir things up. I think he's just being overly complimentary.
Exactly. And John Cooper, listen, if anyone's going to be concerned about cap problems, he should worry about his own house.
Right.
You know, because Braden Point, you know, two can play that game. Babcock would be like, wow, look at Braden Point, blah, blah, blah. But listen, Marner is an incredibly effective player that's playing a ton of minutes. Babcock's pumping his tires. Maybe we don't even have to talk about the opposing coach.
Right.
Babcock said over the weekend that this guy's complete game has been taken to a different level.
Kyle Dubas is like, hey, Babs.
Just relax.
Scratch that,
bit.
All right? Let's keep that internal right now.
Well, you know all of this is being archived. Like, if you're Marner's camp, you're like, okay, I'll clip that. And
your head coach, who knows him better than anyone, just said he's got the most complete
and
defensive game on the team.
And trust him.
So, because, like, if you're going to try to poke holes in Mitch Marner's case for a massive contract,
right,
which this is all tying back into, there's basically, you can say he doesn't score enough goals, maybe not the best defensively, he's not a centerman. Beyond that, I'm not sure what you can say.
Right. And then you got the coach saying.
And we haven't won as a team.
Right. But you've also got the coach saying.
Right.
He is pretty good defensively.
So scratch that off the list.
Scratch that off the list. Right. Like, I put this guy out on the penalty kill. Right. He's generating offense. He's responsible in his own zone. Like, that one, I think, has really quieted down. I think Marner's become an effective two-way player because he understands to get the puck back where to go and where to be on the ice. That's his instincts. And he has some jam. Like, he actually battles on pucks, which I applaud, because I think there's, and Johnny, you know, he played with enough skill guys that would be on the offensive side of the puck and cheat a little bit or try and just kind of take the easy way out. I think Mitch isn't shy to get involved in that. But it all comes back to, you know, I don't think Coop's comments were disingenuous, but I think it was just, almost to your point, Johnny, over love for an upcoming opponent. And
he had him at the World Championships, remember? And Marner was really, really solid during that tournament.
Right.
And listen, Mitch Marner is one of the best players in the league. Yeah. Like, he is.
And this is not us trying to suggest he's not like that.
But Coop's got Braden Point, who I love as a player.
Right.
And Kucherov sitting there.
How about Kucherov? Kucherov's going to win the MVP.
You're right.
He's got Stammer, who scored 60. I mean,
And he's got Hedman, and he's got Vasilevsky. Like, that's a core
What might their private jet from Tampa to Vegas for the awards might look like? I mean, think about what they could. Hedman's not going to win the Norris this year.
No,
but Vasilevsky's going to win the Vezina.
I really thought that Coop. I don't know if it was John Cooper that brought this up, but I read this morning. They said there should be two trophies for a defenseman.
The Rod Langway and the Paul Coffey?
Exactly. The offensive and the defense. And he said Hedman would win the defensive award. Now, Hedman's got 42 points, I believe, but he said this guy's found another level defensively. That I think when you're starting to look at that, there should be a case, not for this year, but moving forward, because how many times have we seen, Brent Burns got to win it, he's winning the points. Like, everyone
look what
just
he's
looks
putting up right now, exactly. And that's what, you know, Morgan Riley and Giordano, the same thing.
Right. But,
you know, tons of minutes and you put up points and you're going to get a lot of attention.
But maybe a guy like Ryan Suter, who eats up 27 minutes a night but only gets 32 points, but is that important? Like, there should maybe be a split.
Well, there's a Selke for forwards. There could be the equivalent for defensemen. Well, I think it's not out of the question.
Yeah, I don't think it's out of the question, but the idea of Tampa complaining about, you know, not getting recognition, I think that's a little bit rich.
Yeah,
you know,
he
might make a good point.
Cooper could be a finalist.
I think he should be.
Braden Point might be a finalist for the Selke.
But is there...
Cooch is going to win the Hart. Mm-hmm. Vasilevsky's going to win the Vezina.
Yeah.
I mean, if Hedman could squeeze in the... I mean, he won't, but...
Who would win the executive of the year? Would it be Brisebois or Yzerman? Who would be up for that?
I think by definition...
I think it would be Brisebois by definition. You know,
the president's or whatever Steve's title is.
But didn't Steve put it all together and then go,
it's all Yzerman.
Here's a platter for you.
What's Brisebois done so far this year?
They didn't do anything at the trade deadline.
Jake Dotchin.
Jake Dodgson, because he failed the fat test.
He came in at, I think, plus
38% 40. Body fat.
You came in.
As me right now.
Yeah.
It's a perfect segue because Scott Mitchell's coming up at 4:30 about Vladdy Guerrero Jr.
The oblique. He pulled an oblique.
His left oblique. He's got the strain. He's going to be shut down for at least 3 weeks.
Conspiracy
maybe
theorists?
More. Well, I mean, listen, he's 250 on the website. He's a big boy at 19, right? Like, it's always going to keep coming back to the weight.
Yeah, it is.
Fairly or unfairly. It's because the truth is, man, look at a guy like Brett Laurie, who was cut, probably like 0.5%
and
body fat,
time.
Hurt all the time. Mm-hmm. Josh Donaldson, hurt all the time. That guy was in the gym 5 hours a day. So it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with body
and
type.
And without throwing shade, Phil Kessel doesn't miss games.
Phil's the opposite. Mm-hmm.
And Phil's not carved out of stone. No.
Phil's built like Vladdy.
Well,
he's a shorter Vladdy.
For me, Phil's built a lot like Brett Hull. Like short and stocky and powerful. Like powerful where he needs to be. But Phil, you know, the way he plays, he just plays every night.
He's durable. He's out there every night.
Point of game again this
year. Right. So we'll catch up with Scotty Mitchell, get his take on how this might affect the odds for the rookie of the year. If he doesn't come up until maybe mid-May, maybe late May, does that take him out of the running? And a couple of other kids are having great camps. What are the chances maybe they get in on this at some point this season? We'll catch up with Scott Mitchell. Dave Andrechuk coming up in the 6 p.m. hour. It's a big game tonight. Tampa in town. This is it. I mean, the Tampa Bay Lightning, the best team in the league. The Leafs are coming off a pretty good road trip, 5 of 6 points. Mike Johnson's in here. The O-Dog is off all week. You know, people are tweeting in, texting in, wondering where the O-Dog is. He's not just mailing in a full segment.
No, he's mailing in the whole week.
The whole week.
And, you know, he had an incident last week. So he's just, you know, it's a decompress.
Have we found video of said incident?
No. Believe me, unfortunately, I should tell the story, and I don't know if I told it last week. The second after I knew he was all right, I turned to our camera operators and I said, please tell me you got that on tape. And they didn't because of the incident the week before where the switchable went off and Pooley had the reaction.
On the save. Right.
So cameras were not apparently. I don't know if cameras have been instructed to turn away from the panel.
I'm not sure I'm buying it, man. I think there's video
security
out there.
Footage. Something.
There's something.
A lot
out
of
there.
Cameras in this building.
Please, I. That would be how many views on YouTube to see that? Like we should have a poll. How many views on YouTube would O-Dog's incident with me?
It would be
Garner
Baby by Justin Bieber. It would have blown past that. Yeah. Like it would be up there around 500.
The Kardashians' latest clothing line, right. Whatever release.
It would be the biggest of the big. If there's video of you giving the O-Dog the Heimlich, it's breaking records online.
Crashing servers left and right.
Oh, it would be. Johnny's in here. I'm Brian Hayes. Jamie Noodles, McLennan kicking around as well. Scott Mitchell will join us. What's up with Vladdy Guerrero Jr.? How does this change his whole season? The Blue Jays' approach. We'll get to that next. All right, Scott Mitchell will join us here in a couple of minutes on Vladdy Guerrero Jr. out at least 3 weeks. I think it's more than likely going to be a month plus before he even returns to baseball activities. So he wasn't going to break camp with the team anyway. It doesn't matter. I mean, this doesn't change that service time debate. But I think it might change, you know, the rookie of the year debate. When he actually comes up, how he's going to feel when he does get up here. So we'll catch up with Scotty Mitchell in a moment. The Raptors are in Cleveland tonight. They set a franchise record for threes last night. They were shooting the lights out in Miami. And they're off to Cleveland. Kawhi did not play yesterday. We believe he'll play tonight. But that makes zero sense to me. I mean, the whole load management stuff has been difficult to follow anyway. And they've gone this far, it's not going to stop. You know, Nick Nurse said it yesterday. They've mapped out their schedule, and he's going to miss 3 or 4 of the next 15 games.
And it's not really based on quality of opponent, clearly.
Exactly. Right. Like, you're in Cleveland. Cleveland is a joke. Like, what is the point of playing them tonight?
It's like we associate it with a starter in the NHL. Yeah. You know, back-to-backs, okay, maybe takes the second one off.
Right.
It's a big game he's going to play if it's maybe not quite a quality of an opponent.
Yeah.
Especially in the NBA, other than last night down in Golden State. The massive underdogs rarely beat the best teams in the league.
Right. So Those are almost guaranteed win nights.
Virtually 95% of the time. So, it's perplexing to figure it out anyways.
For me, that goes back to, it actually speaks more about them sticking to a schedule, and it's not about the opponent. It's like his body will be ready this day. Whether he's playing or not, doesn't matter.
How far out would they make that schedule, though? Because, I mean, you have to be reacting real time. How's your leg feeling? How's your body feeling? You can't say September 1st, okay, here's the 82-game schedule. Here's the 20 games you're going to miss.
Do you think it's 2 weeks, 10 days? Like, you know,
yeah, I would think so, like a rolling 2 week calendar or something like that.
I would assume so. But and maybe he's telling them, I'm not feeling that well.
Right.
But that's the thing. You never get an answer out of Kawhi or out of them. Like, they've never come out and said, the reason we're doing this is because right now he's not feeling well. The reasoning is always so that he's 100% come the playoffs.
Right. Yeah.
But that would presume, that would make you presume that he's not 100% right now.
Or is it just that he is and they want to maintain because he played so little last year that it's like, he's feeling fine, we're not going to push him.
Right.
Right. Like, they must have a magic number. Like, if he played 9 games last year, they're saying, you're playing 50 no matter what. Like, if you feel better or feel worse, you're getting to 50.
Which is all good. I guess what I'm saying is I didn't need him playing yesterday, mm-hmm. and I don't need him playing tonight.
Right.
Like, I don't need him playing in Cleveland.
The ironic part is if he gets injured tonight, people will go nuts.
Absolutely. You're putting yourself in a position.
He rolls his ankle stepping on
Tristan Thompson or our boy Nick Stauskas.
Yes.
You know, goes up for a three.
Although we love Nick.
We love Nick Stauskas. But
if Nick ends up injuring Kawhi by accident, poking him in the eye or something.
Anything. You know, I wouldn't play him. I wouldn't play Lowry tonight. Mm-hmm. I don't think it matters. I still think you're leaving Cleveland with a win. Back-to-back, travel, it doesn't matter. Cleveland's that bad.
Their record has been fantastic without Kawhi this year.
Yes.
Better than with him.
Absolutely. They're like a 59-win team without him.
Yeah. So, I mean, they can get through, and even if they do rest Kyle Lowry because his back has been flaring up here and there against Cleveland, they should still have enough to get through with or without.
I would think so. But, I mean, we'll find out. You know, because they were traveling to Cleveland late last night, they didn't have a shoot-around today. We're just going into it assuming.
I wouldn't want to play him after, like, a late travel night, too. We know how the body tightens up and dehydration from the plane and everything else.
Yeah.
He can do whatever he wants, working. And maybe I wonder if some of this is just Kawhi's people, Kawhi's camp.
Yeah.
Anything to placate them. So if they came in and they talked about making sure he's healthy or load manager or whatever, like, putting their best foot forward, he's not going to stay, but just trying to give them any reason, or not, don't give them a reason not to.
Right. It's always about the courting process, right? And I think that's led to the anxiety in the fan base, is that Kawhi and his camp are using this season to make sure that they're really 100%.
Springboard it to the big payday.
For next season. Exactly. When they get paid and he goes to the Clippers.
And he plays 82 games,
you gotta
38
play 82.
Minutes a night.
Exactly. You got to be ready to play next year. And I understand that anxiety because I share it. But ultimately, as long as he plays every playoff game,
right?
That's why you brought him here, was for the playoffs.
It doesn't matter until you get there. You can play him every minute that he's possible to stand on the court.
Well, he better play every game.
He better play.
Could you imagine? That,
there's no way there's a load management
no
in the playoffs.
No way.
There's no way.
That'd be a load of something.
Wow. People would go crazy.
Well, they would.
And the team wouldn't be able to, like, the team would have to send him out. You'd have to be like, if you're not playing,
you
go out and explain why you're not playing tonight.
Yeah.
Like, it can't be, load management, you know, we got a schedule here. It's game 7 tonight, but we can't play them.
We're up 3-1 in the first round. You know what? We
had
this one charted.
No. Right. Sorry, man. The chart says what it says. We made the determination.
It's a 2-point conversion chart. We got to follow it.
You said something earlier that made me kind of think. He got up and said, I can't go today. Like, I know, especially in baseball, I hung around a baseball player in St. Louis years ago, and we were out one night quite late. And he's like, yeah, I'm not going tomorrow. And then all of a sudden you saw in the transactions, like, bad back. I'm like, that's a hangover. That's not a bad back.
That has nothing to do with
a
bad back.
I don't think that's happening with Kawhi.
I don't think it is either. I mean, I think he's a legit professional athlete. I don't think he's hungover. But here's our buddy Scott Mitchell, our TSN Jays reporter. Have you heard any of that on the beat, you know, covering baseball? I mean, that's going back 20 years, I would assume, Noodles.
Yes. Nope. It happens now still.
Do you think in 2019, Scotty, you still got guys hung over and they're not playing?
I would hope so. I mean, making that much money, I'd want to be hung over a couple days, especially in the baseball season, 162 of them. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it happens.
What would be the town you would circle, though? The one city in the league where you'd be like, that has hangover written all over it.
Oh, man. Well, I'd probably point to Chicago just out of personal experience, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we'd all be able to sign off on that.
I think we could all sign off on a Chicago. But it's always the gritty little cities that you're like, somebody's got a watering hole or a casino in there. I don't know if it's Cleveland or, you know, some Kansas
Milwaukee.
City. Like, yeah, Milwaukee. It's
the
just
less
out of
there
nowhere.
Is to do.
Yeah, the more
you just got to kill time.
Yeah.
True enough. So Vladdy Guerrero Jr., he's got the left oblique strain. He's been shut down for about 3 weeks. I think most of us are anticipating more than that, just based on the way other oblique issues have caused, you know, flare-ups in the past with other players. But, you know, the first thing that I thought of was the rookie of the year odds here, Scotty. You know, if he was coming up mid-April, he was only going to miss 12, 14, 15 games. You know, I thought he would have more than enough time to put himself in that conversation all year. In fact, I think he'd be the favorite. But if he doesn't come up until, let's say, mid to late May, do you think he'd still have an opportunity at winning the rookie of the year?
Yeah, I think so for sure. I mean, that's an interesting question. I think Eloy Jimenez of the Chicago White Sox, he's going to be in a very similar boat. I mean, the White Sox are going to try to keep him down. He might be, the co-front runner at this point because he's expected to hit and hit a lot right out of the gates too. But, I don't know if it's going to take that long. I don't know if mid-May to late May is going to be realistic when this is all said and done, but obviously a lot of steps to go. They're going to shut him down for a week, and then they expect maybe 3 weeks off of game action. So if he does get back in that timeline, I am kind of with you. I think they'll kind of slow play this, probably send him down to extended or keep him down in extended spring training to start April, then slowly ramp him back up in Buffalo. But I think May 1st target date would be still fair at this point. And, you know, with the numbers he's expected to put up and you know, if he can stay healthy for those final kind of 4.5-5 months, you know, I think he's still the front runner at this point.
What's your sense around the team and your interactions with fans and media when it comes to this ball club? The more anticipated home game, is it the home opener or Vladdy's home debut?
I think 100% Vladdy's debut. I think you ask a lot of fans, you think I'd probably ask a lot of media who they're even playing the home opener on March 28th, and I bet you it's a 50-50 proposition whether they even know. I don't know if you guys know, but Detroit Tigers, Blue Jays series, 4 games off the top, I don't think moves the needle for a whole lot of people considering where both teams are in the rebuilding process. So, everyone's kind of waiting on Vladdy, and unfortunately, it looks like it's going to be a little longer. And, you know, it really does raise some questions of what they'll look to do with this time off because, there is a Super 2 cutoff date as well in June that could, potentially keep him from getting a fourth year of arbitration. 3 is the standard, but if you kind of keep them down and pass that Super 2 cutoff date, which is a little bit of a moving target because it's the top 22% of players in service time that have spent at least 2 years and no more than 3 years in the major league. So that gets you a fourth trip through arbitration and can really kind of, bump that earning power down near the end of a contract. And we've seen Josh Donaldson and Nolan Arenado. They've both been Super 2 guys, and they've both set arbitration records in their final year. So, you know, that's going to be significant from a monetary point of view. So if there is a setback with this oblique, it'll be interesting to see if they do get into May and he's still in AAA, what they'll decide to do. I think it's, a little bit iffy and a little bit dicey to kick off a relationship that way. Vladdy Jr.'s camp is still a little bit, perturbed that he was left down last year. And, you know, there likely will be a grievance of some sort pending, at some point with this situation. So, I think the relationship's more important. But, depending on how this goes over the next few weeks, it will definitely be interesting to monitor as you get into the spring here.
Just what we all want to hear, another sliding deadline and when he may or may not come up to hold on to his rights a little bit longer. Scotty, you can talk about his production, which has been as good as anyone can remember for any prospect. He's a young man who's a big guy. Has there been any kind of conversation and whether this injury is related to his weight or to his size about altering that for longevity? Because it doesn't affect performance, clearly, but just for long-term health.
Well, I think anytime you try to tie, this injury or even the knee injury he had last summer to his weight at this point is pretty speculative. But, mm-hmm. Behind the scenes, when you do talk to people in the organization, they're fully aware of the size that this kid is. And, he'll turn 20 on Saturday and 250 pounds listed at. Whether you think that's maybe, 10 or 15 pounds a little bit on the heavier side, is another story. But it's pretty clear that, body maintenance, nutrition, conditioning, these are going to be huge aspects of where his career goes. And when you look at it in a bubble, this guy is one of the best prospects to come through, not only in the last kind of 10 years, but maybe ever from a strictly with the bat point of view. And when you factor in the fact that You know, he's got some defensive concerns. You know, for me, he's a first baseman by probably the 2021 season at the latest. You know, you really have to look at that body, and you have to look at the precedent that's been set by a few players ahead of him. I mean, Prince Fielder, you know, his career was essentially ruined by back problems, and whether you want to attribute that to his size or not, you probably have to ask Prince that. But, you know, Pablo Sandoval, and then a really recent example now is Miguel Sano with the Minnesota Twins. Kind of the same thing. He's, you know, played some first base, played some third, played some outfield, but his body has really blown up over the last couple of years as he got into his 20s. And, you know, he's really suffered. He's had some lower leg injuries. And like I say, you know, it's all speculative to kind of connect those. But there's no doubt it's on the radar of, you know, not just fans, but this organization as they try to talk to him about nutrition and what he needs to do when he's not in the batting cage.
Great stuff as always, Scotty. We'll do it again soon. Thank you, buddy.
All right, fellas. Take care.
There's Scott Mitchell, our TSN Jays reporter. You know, it really is all about Vladdy, and he's right. You know, they open at home against the Tigers. And
he said March?
Yes, end of March. Now, luckily, they got the dome, right? I mean, if they didn't have a dome, there's no point even starting at home.
Is that not earlier than usual?
It is. It's been, the last couple of years, it's been moving up a little bit because they're trying to get the back end of the World Series done earlier, which I think makes a lot of sense.
I'll say this. As an athlete, if I'm Vladdy Guerrero and he's going to be as good as he's supposed to be, and my entire existence with this organization has been them trying to arbitrarily maintain my rights as long as they can and suppress my salary as long as they can, which, you know, I can appreciate as a young athlete. The first chance I have to flip that, whether it's take them for a big contract or leave, this doesn't go away after 4 years.
No way.
If they slide it again to this, whatever this, the secondary tagging day, whatever it's called.
He's going to tune them up.
Yeah, and then whenever they don't have rights, he'll be bolting out here as soon as possible. You got to be careful if you want him to stick around. You want him to want to be around long term. It's not just going to be money eventually, because he'll remember he'll get the money anywhere.
Well, that's why, you know, this whole antiquated system in baseball makes no sense. You know, they're cutting off their nose to spite their face, where the teams are looking at it and they're saying, okay, we want that extra year of control 7 years down the road. But then you're deflating this balloon that is just massive in terms of anticipation and buzz. Like, he's already the poster boy for the team. Like, and because he's not playing on the home opener, it's meaningless.
You should be trying to force feed him in right now.
He should be everything.
And on billboards and walking him out. And this is when you're in a rebuild and you're basically, I don't even know if baseball has a tanking scenario, but you don't have any faces to sell. This is your guy.
This is the guy.
You got to be trotting him out.
Vladdy, and he already is the guy, and yet the team has to put forth this front, like he's not ready. And we all know why they're doing it, and we all get why they're doing it, because of the CBA.
Can't they just say that's why we're doing it?
Well, but then the PA will file a grievance, and if they have you dead to rights, then you might actually be in trouble, which, again, is so stupid.
That's because dumb. The rules are the rules. I can apply them anywhere I want.
Everyone knows. Yeah. Everyone knows what it is. But this is a baseball issue. It's not a Blue Jay or Vladdy Guerrero Jr. issue. It's a baseball issue. Teams are doing this throughout baseball, and it shouldn't happen, because it should be all about Vladdy. When they break camp, if he was healthy, it should be all about Vladdy. Like, could you imagine if Austin Matthews, when he was a rookie, went through camp and they said, you're going down to the Marlies and we're going to see you in mid-November. Like, imagine starting the season without him. Or, you know, on a complete other end of the spectrum, after you acquire Kawhi Leonard, and let's say he is 100% healthy, you're like, okay, we've got him, and now he's the poster boy, we're all so excited, but he's going to start around game 12. He's not going to play for us the first 11 games.
Zion Williamson gets picked first overall.
Exactly.
We're going to just hang you into the D-League.
You're in the D-League for a while.
Until November.
Got
to work on your defense.
Such a dumb system.
The Austin Matthews analogy is actually pretty cool when you look at it. He goes first overall, and, I mean, we went up to Montreal. Or no, to Ottawa.
Oh, it was in Ottawa.
We went to Ottawa to watch that game.
Absolutely.
Everyone was tracking. Same thing. Like, that Vladdy would be, game one would be must, that would be filled to the rafters.
Absolutely. It would be absolutely rocket. Now, it'll probably be sold out anyway because it's home opener and it's a big day. And, but if you added Vladdy to the mix, it would have a totally different feel to it. Ray Ferraro, our hockey analyst, will join us in about 20 minutes. Crazy scene in the EPL yesterday. We'll get to that. And again, the worst owner in sports is at it again down in New York. We'll tell you about that next. All right, Ray's coming up in about 15 minutes. The Tampa Bay Lightning are in town tonight. We'll tee that game up. We'll get back into John Cooper's comments about Mitch Marner. You guys see that scene in, it wasn't the Premier League yesterday. It was Tier 2. But Aston Villa against Birmingham City.
Mm-hmm.
When the captain of Aston Villa, Jack Grealish, who's from Birmingham, and he ended up scoring the winner. It was an incredible scene.
Yeah.
But some idiot jumps on the field and suckers him, like hit him with a good shot.
Yeah.
The guy got 14 weeks in jail.
Oh, okay.
And banned for life, clearly, which goes without saying.
There was no remorse. He was pumped when he was getting escorted off by the security. He
absolutely.
He was like, saluting the crowd saying, I got him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and that's the best thing.
The worst.
His lawyer comes out today. He goes, yeah, he's so remorseful.
Oh, really?
He doesn't know what came over him. I do. He's a goof.
He's an idiot.
But here's the part that I, you know, by association, I empathize for his family. I guess he's got a wife and like a kid or two kids. And they're like moving out of Birmingham now because his identity has been released.
Yeah.
So, you know, the whole city's like trying to track this guy down. Like he over there.
The
man.
Perpetrator.
Exactly. Yes. The idiot that ran on the field.
And people take that seriously.
Oh, yeah. Like he's getting suckered at some point when he gets out of jail. Someone's going to lay him out. But now his wife and kids, I guess, they're stuck with this dope. So now they got to move outside of Birmingham because they're worried about like death threats stuff.
He made the bed. He made it.
The fan base
no
is
sympathy.
So passionate in soccer. Remember the guy who did the bust of Ronaldo and it was like his face.
Not his best work? Impressionist?
That guy's life was ruined. There was a special on it. I watched it. I was almost moved to tears. The guy was so heartbroken. We got to get into
it. It was a pretty bad impression of him, though. The guy was like a 3. Ronaldo's a 10. This guy looked like me. Like, it was a brutal look. All right, back into this. Back into the James Dolan stuff down in New York. We'll tell you more about that. And Ray's coming up, teeing up the Lightning Leaf game tonight. Hour 2 up next. Overdrive continues on the TSN app.